Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, you really are our everything, and we praise you because you are the King of Kings. We thank you so much for all the gifts you bestow upon us each and every day, all those gifts we take for granted. And we thank you above all for sending your Son that very first Christmas so that he could be a sacrifice on our behalf. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, did everybody have a good Christmas? Was it exciting and joyful? You know, a lot of times we experience Christmas where there's all kinds of joy and anticipation and excitement and all of that stuff, and then December 26th hits, and sometimes it decreases. I'll tell you about my Christmas day. So it started out, we decided in our family that we didn't want to do turkey or ham because we were sick of it. And my wife decided, hey, Scott could grill steaks. So, okay, I did that, and it was very cold out. But anyway, so I got up, you know, on Christmas morning and started marinating the steaks. I like to grill, by the way, and getting them all ready and so that they'd be really good for my mom and dad came over. So there was the eight of us. And we get to the meal when we're eating it, and I was so proud of the steaks I grilled and, you know, handed them out to my four daughters. And what do my daughters do? They get ranch and dip the steak in ranch sauce. I was like, what are you doing? That totally ruined my excitement and joy on Christmas Day. It's like, what are you guys doing? But, you know, it seems like that happens a lot with Christmas. You know, we get so excited, and then we get back to the way life was before Christmas and right after Christmas, and everything kind of goes back to the blahs. And is anybody with me on that? Well, today we're going to talk about an event in the Bible that really is part of the Christmas story. And it's something that we don't always read a lot of. And we don't get a lot of information about Jesus after Jesus' birthday. Between then and the time Jesus starts his ministry after he's baptized, we don't know much about what goes on. But Matthew gives us some details about what happened shortly after Jesus was born. So the shepherds had already come, the wise men had come. And remember, the whole Bible, like we've been talking about, is one narrative. It's all God's plan of salvation from the beginning to the end. And this is just the beginning of the Christmas story. So let me read to you from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. So I invite you to open up your Bibles if you have them, if you have your phones. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. That then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted, because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream again to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. that he would be called a Nazarene. So, this isn't part of the Christmas story that we usually have in the children's Christmas program, right? Or the Christmas pageant. When Joseph, Mary, and Jesus have to flee Bethlehem because King Herod, who's a psycho, wants to kill all children 2 years and younger, all male children, because he had heard that there was this king of Jews that was being born in Bethlehem. And by the way, if you want to learn a little bit more about that, I'm going to be doing a Bible study on the book of Mark starting in a couple weeks that I invite you to on Wednesday nights. We'll talk a little bit more about Herod killing these innocent children. It's horrible. And that's obviously why we don't include that in the children's Christmas program. But this is why Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to flee to Egypt. Now, do you remember Egypt? This is the place where God's people were slaves for many, many years. And God sent Moses and delivered his people out of Egypt. And now God is sending his son and Joseph and Mary to Egypt so that they can be safe from King Herod. And if you notice there, Matthew quotes a prophet who said that this would happen. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And then obviously the Holy Family goes back to Nazareth where Jesus was raised. There is certainly not much joy in this part of the narrative, is there? You know, the events immediately following Christ's birth. Not a lot of joy. Innocent children being killed. The Holy Family having to flee to be safe. But this was all part of God's plan of salvation. And when I was reading through these 11 verses a couple times, something else really struck me. And that is the people that God continues to use in his plan. Joseph and Mary, Jesus' parents. Mary gets a lot of attention, and rightfully so. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Mary carried the baby Jesus for 9 months, delivered Jesus in a manger, in a stable, and then placed him in a manger. Mary has words recorded in the four Gospels, but I was really intrigued by Joseph. Jesus' father, not only his father, but he was Jesus' stepfather. And I was thinking about Joseph and Mary quite a bit the last couple weeks. You know, they didn't sign up for this gig. They didn't go to God and say, hey, can we be the parents of the Son of God? God chose them. God called them into action as part of his plan. He chose Mary to carry Jesus, and he chose Joseph to be the one to be the stepfather, to step in and be Jesus' earthly father. And like I said, you know, Mary gets a lot of attention, Joseph doesn't. After all, there's not a song called Joseph, Did You Know? Which I want you to think about that because the band's going to be singing Mary, Did You Know? Here in a little while. And by the way, the answer is yes, Mary did know. But anyway. But I have the question, Joseph, did you know? You know, so the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the ones that record the life and the events of Jesus and his disciples and Jesus' life. And not one of the Gospels records a single word spoken by Joseph. And only three of them mention Joseph. You know, Joseph was going to be the father of the Son of God. What kinds of questions do you think was going through Joseph's mind? You know, we go all the way back to when the angel first came to Joseph. He didn't think he was capable when he was being called into action. He didn't want to do this, especially when he found out the woman that he was betrothed to is pregnant and she was still a virgin. I mean, imagine trying to explain that one to mom and dad. No, mom and dad, really, I'm pregnant, but I really was never with a man. Joseph, what kinds of questions did he have during all this? And then when they were going to Bethlehem, and then when they got there and Mary was getting ready to give birth, what kinds of questions were going through Joseph's head? Was he excited? Was he scared? Was he thinking, I'm going to be a father, not just any father, a father to the Son of God? And what kind of things were running through his mind when he first held baby Jesus in his arms? I know as a first-time father, and if other fathers out there, when you held your child for the first time, it was exciting. And I know when our firstborn Grace was born, we didn't find out if she was going to be a boy or a girl. And when she came out, the doctor said, it's a girl. She's built like a linebacker. I was excited because she was over 9 pounds. She got that from her dad. But I was super excited to hold that little linebacker in my arms. And it was humbling, and it was scary. Did Joseph have any of these? So what does Scripture exactly tell us about this guy that God chose to be Jesus' earthly father? We do get quite a bit of information about Joseph. As I mentioned, only three of the Gospels talk about him in the events of Jesus. We know that Joseph was a carpenter of some sort, which is very cool. I got to be a carpenter for 6 years in South Carolina. It's hard work. It's a lot of fun. But it's tough on your body, too. I wonder if it was tough on Joseph's body to be a carpenter. He would have probably taught Jesus how to be a carpenter. An important part of God's plan, Joseph was part of the line of David. So he came from the line of David, the great king of Israel. And of course, this was part of God's plan that his son would come through the line of David. All part of the plan. And if you remember last week, Pastor Henry talked about Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was called into action. And God said to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Which is the exact same thing with Joseph. Before Joseph was formed in the womb, God knew he was going to use Joseph in that way. And just like each and every one of us here, he knew us all before we were formed in our mother's wombs. How cool is that? And he knew how he was going to call each and every one of us into action. And because Joseph was in the line of David, again, part of God's whole plan of salvation, they had to go to Bethlehem because a census was being taken. And that was Joseph's home. And of course, that's where it was prophesied the Son of God would be born. We know that from Scripture he was a just man. He sought to quietly divorce Mary because she was pregnant. Even though she was still a virgin, he was going to quietly divorce her so that he would not bring shame on her, bring attention to it. He was a just man. Again, a man of action. We get no words from him, but a man of action. God sent an angel to Joseph on a number of occasions to deliver God's message to him. And we know from Scripture, Joseph obeyed and did those things. In the Scripture I just read, when the angel came to Joseph to tell him, get out of here, you got to get safe, he immediately got up in the middle of the night and took Mary and Jesus and went to Egypt, which was not just a quick trip, by the way. You know, God also calls us, each and every one of us, into action. He doesn't just call pastors like Henry and I. He calls each and every one of us into different things, all part of his plan. Are we obeying that like Joseph did? You know, Joseph was there when Jesus was born. Joseph was there when they went to Egypt. Joseph was there when the shepherds came and when the wise men came. Joseph was there when they went back to Nazareth and he raised Jesus. Joseph, we know, was a faithful man. He took Jesus to the temple and the synagogues in their town, as a good Jew would do. He was there when they lost 12-year-old Jesus, by the way, in Jerusalem too. So what can we learn from a man who has no recorded words in Scripture? Like I said, none of his words are recorded, but his actions are. And I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, you know, actions speak louder than words. We know that Joseph took his parenting role seriously. Like I said, he took Jesus to the temple 8 days after he was born. They took him to the temple for the Passover. They took him to the synagogue that would have been in town. Joseph was obedient. He listened to God's call. You know, God, like I said, God doesn't just call pastors. He calls each and every one of us. And if he can use a weird, goofy guy like me to deliver sermons, and he can use a guy like Pastor Henry, who watches The Bachelorette, to be a pastor, he can certainly use all of you for his plan. And one last thing here. When God does call you into action, he will provide. Just like he did for Joseph and Mary. He called them into a big role in his plan. And he provided for them. He guided and directed them. He was with them all along. And just like that, when he calls you into whatever he's calling you into, try to be like Joseph. Don't say any words, just act. And he will provide for you. God will always be with you. And remember, we can celebrate Christmas. The Christmas story is not over. It does not end on December 26th. The Christmas story goes all the way to when Jesus goes up Mount Calvary, carrying his own cross, and then is nailed to it and dies for our sins. And God's plan of salvation is finished. When Jesus said those words on the cross, it is finished. It was finished because God provided for us a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. Amen.